My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Consoler and Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our text this morning is from the Gospel reading, the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. I'll reread a portion of that for you again, starting at verse 29. And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and her fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. There is a church in Landskrona, Sweden, that is called the Sophia Albertina Kirke. And inside this church, in the chancel, there is a painting over the altar that draws our attention for the way that it so magnificently captures the divine truth of this gospel reading today. This painting is by the Danish artist Carl Bloch, and it portrays the risen Christ with people huddled around him in various states of anguish and misery. And the title of the painting is Christus Consolator. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, the word consolator is an obsolete word. I noticed that when I was preparing for today, Microsoft Word did not recognize the word consolator. And my guess is that you probably haven't used that word any time recently. A consolator, very simply, is somebody who gives consolation, which that's a word that we do hear and use, and which, for better or for worse, has almost in some ways become synonymous with the word loser. I mean, have you ever received a consolation prize? And tell me, were you, or, you know, was anyone ever genuinely consoled by a consolation prize? You just lost the big game in front of a whole gym full of people, and someone extends you the consolation prize that basically says, thanks for showing up, you lost, now go home and be consoled with this ribbon. There was an old Lifesavers commercial, and in this commercial, it shows a father and a son leaving the hockey rink, and the announcer informs us that the son, who is still wearing his hockey gear, had let a puck get past him in the game and had lost the game for his team. And so the boy is looking dejected and defeated, and the dad, who's walking alongside him, feels his son's anguish, and he offers him a wintergreen Lifesaver. So the boy takes the Lifesaver grudgingly, and then dad tells him that much the same thing had happened when he was in high school, when he had fumbled the ball in a crucial play and lost the game for his team. And then he says, it took a whole roll of Lifesavers to make me feel better. And so the boy turns to his dad with a smile stretching out across his face, and he says, you got a whole roll? And dad says, there'll be other games, kiddo. A roll of Lifesavers may be useful to make you feel better on some occasions, but for the people in the Christus Consolator painting, they don't strike me as the kind of people who are going to be consoled by a piece of candy. A shackled prisoner is looking for release from his punishment. A cripple seems to have lost the will to live. A widow, with all of her insecurities and her fears, huddles beneath the folds of Christ's garment. A doubting Thomas type, wrestles with his skepticism and his doubts. A man emaciated and hungry wonders where he can find hope in this world. And a little orphan girl looks out directly at us with a forlorn gaze that draws us into their misery. None of these people in this painting are biblical characters, but instead, they represent everyone down through the ages who have been in prison, literally or spiritually, everyone whose bodies have failed them in some way, everyone who's ever been widowed or who's lost a child or a parent, everyone who's ever struggled with doubts and questions, everyone who has ever languished in poverty. These people represent everyone who in any way has suffered under the regime of sin, who is consoled by Christus Consolator, who bids us all, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the idea here is that you put yourself into this painting as one who finds your consolation in Christ, in all of your troubles and tragedies and trials, in your diseases and your despair, in your doubts and in your dying. And notice once again that this painting hangs over the altar, which is precisely where the divine consolator welcomes us. That's where we find our rest. This is where Christ affords us the supreme comfort of his love, his forgiveness, his death and resurrection, his life, his heaven. That's where the painting belongs. It makes sense to be there above the altar. Now, in our gospel reading today, Jesus strides into the sick room. Peter's mother-in-law is suffering with a great fever. Her life in these days before antibiotics is in imminent danger. The woman is nameless, and that's not because Mark didn't know her name. Mark and Peter, remember, were close associates. Mark most certainly would have known the name of Peter's mother-in-law, but he didn't use that name. And I think Mark is trying to tell us something here, to tell us that Christus Consolator attends to all the anonymous, nameless, faceless people who have fallen through the cracks, the lowly and the forgotten and the ordinary people of this world. Now, this lady offers no prayer. She makes no overture toward the Lord Jesus, no cry of, "Lord, have mercy," yet he comes to her. He is the one who takes the initiative here to serve us and to extend his life to us. And he does not grow faint or weary in his pursuit of us. He does not turn away when the road to serving us becomes perilous. But he comes to us in our sick rooms, where we are suffering all of the feverish symptoms of God's curse upon sin. And then the exchange takes place. Her sickness for his health. He takes what is ours and gives us what is his. Sickness, demon possession, disease, sin, sorrow, death. He came to take all of it. No magic wands, no incantation, no hocus-pocus mumbo-jumbo. He just took her by the hand, lifted her up, and her fever left her. As Isaiah said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed." Jesus became poor with our poverty. He became sin with all of our transgressions. And he became dead with the death of all of humanity. He takes whatever robs us of our humanity, and He restores it to us with His virtue and His blessings and His victory and His truth and His love, and that is our consolation as His people. Because, you know, very often life is not pretty or comfortable or fun. And people are looking for consolation wherever they think that they might find it. Maybe the latest self-help book on Amazon that has such great reviews. Or they might look for consolation to an adulterous relationship, or the bottle, or gambling, or clothing, makeovers, food, shopping sprees, travel, or education, or entertainment, vanity upon vanity upon vanity, because while all of these things may temporarily distract and dull the pain, they do not ultimately console. But Jesus consoles. He took the woman by the hand and He lifted her up. That exact same phrase is used one other time in the Gospels when the daughter of Jairus had died. She too is nameless. She too lay in her sick room, now turned morgue. And the situation was not at all one of those that a lifesaver candy could help, Jairus and his wife. So Christus Consolator moved directly to the child's side, took her by the hand, and said, "Child, arise." And He raised her up. Resurrection is consolation. "Behold, I am making all things new," says our Consolator. "I am making all things new. I'm making your body new. I'm making your mind new. I'm making your relationships new. I'm making this earth new. Behold, I am making all things new," says Christus Consolator. He renewed the health and the life of Peter's mother-in-law with His life, and she received it. And then she got up and she served others. And I think, what better way for us to understand our life? What better way to understand what's about to happen here today in this divine service? And then what takes place afterwards when we leave here and we go back out into this broken, hurting world of ours? We come here, and then He serves us, Christus Consolator. He takes us by the hand, raises us up, renews us through the word that is preached, and at this table where He gives us the medicine of our immortality, His very body and blood, He serves you, and then He sends you to serve. The great fever of your sin is no longer on you. You're forgiven. Your shame is removed. Your guilt has been atoned for. You are embraced by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, having been made new in this place. All of it is consolation of the highest order. On His holy cross, as He bore the weight of our sin, there was nobody to console Him. His sacred, wounded head hung down with grief and shame. And in that act of sacrifice, your eternal consolation was in view to bless you, to sustain you, to raise you up, and to glorify you, to renew you. He died to console you in whatever grief this world might bring to your life. The Lord of heaven and earth died and then rose again, the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep in Him. Receiving this consolation, we mount up with wings like eagles. For courage is born of His consolation, and strength and fortitude and hope. And so we run, and we do not grow weary, and we walk, and we do not faint, for we are running, and we are walking toward heaven. and Christus Consolator is with us, even unto the end of the age. Let us pray. O be our great deliverer still, the Lord of life and death. Restore and quicken, soothe and bless with your life-giving breath. To hands that work and eyes that see, give wisdom's healing power, that whole and sick and weak and strong may praise you evermore. Amen. And amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.